In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praises to you. They sing praises to your name, O Most High.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of your people and grant us your peace all the days of our life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. But you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go before you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord sent his word and he
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel is from St. John, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man,
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jesus' very first miracle is at a wedding at Cana. It was there where he first turned water into wine and manifested his glory. And our text is also so clear in pointing out that this is Jesus' first miracle. It's worth pointing out or thinking about that Jesus could have introduced himself and his ministry in any way, but he chose a wedding. That's how he introduced himself. Introductions are important. We take them pretty seriously in our own lives. For example, when I began dating Christina, I wanted to introduce myself in a nice way to her parents. I dressed up, made dinner plans, and had a short little presentation well rehearsed. I wanted to make the right impression. I wanted to show them who I was, or in my case, probably more accurately, who I wanted to be. Introductions are important. The thing is, God, he has a thing for introductions too. And that's really what the season of Epiphany is all about. Epiphany literally means manifestation or a shining forth. But you might think of it like an introduction as well. How God makes himself known to us. So who is God? How does he make himself known to us? In what ways does he make himself known? And what does that teach us about him? Well, in our first reading this morning, Moses, he was looking for an introduction to God too. He had been listening to God for a long time, but now he wanted to see him. God had made himself known in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, but now Moses was looking for a real sit-down, face-to-face sort of meeting. So Moses asks for a big one. Please show me your glory. And what a strange reply. The Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, but you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. Moses asks for that big introduction, and we all learn something important about ourselves in the process. And it's this: God's holiness and man's sin doesn't mix. The holiness of God is so great and beyond our ability to handle that it would just plain wipe us out if we were face to face with him. And so, because Moses cannot bear so much as getting a glimpse of the face of the one to whom he speaks, God hides him in the cleft of a rock. And he lets Moses see his back as he passes by. A passing glimpse of the glory of God. So back to our gospel. Jesus turning water into wine and manifesting his glory. This 40-day season of Christmastide, along with all these Epiphany readings, should strike us with such wonder and awe. The holy man Moses, the prophet, was just thrilled with a passing glimpse of the glory of the Lord. And then you hear Christmas morning this wonderful news that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The one who spoke by the prophets, the one who keeps the planets in orbit now becomes flesh. Keep this account of Moses in your mind when John writes to you the following in our gospel. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The God to whom Moses spoke is the God to whom we meet in the flesh of Jesus. Well, that should really bring us to today's miracle. The wedding at Cana, the water into wine. Because the text says that Jesus manifested his glory. And then notice that the glory doesn't wipe them out. In fact, they're loving it. This was Jesus' first miracle. He wants to make himself known at a wedding. That's how God wants to introduce himself to us. With food and drink, with water and wine, with enjoyment and pleasure. He shows up as a guest and he makes himself known as the host. That wedding couple in Cana is anonymous for a good reason, because the Lord is showing you that you are his church, the bride, and that he is the groom. The wedding happens on the third day at Cana. He makes himself known on the third day because that's the day that he'll rise from the dead. At the wedding at Cana, Jesus takes 6 stone water jars, all so that we can look forward to what he did for us on the 6th day, on Good Friday, which was the greatest wedding day of all. It was the day when Christ gave his life for his bride, the church, and became one with his people. At the wedding at Cana, when Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come," this was the hour he was talking about, where the glory of the Lord would shine brighter and farther than anywhere else when God gave his life for us. At the wedding at Cana, Jesus changed water into wine and refreshed and gave joy to all who were there. But now at the cross, he refreshes and gives joy to the whole world by the water and blood that flowed from his pierced side. Because there is forgiveness and there is life and salvation for us. You see, every Sunday really is a wedding feast. It's a marriage. At every divine service, God reveals himself. He introduces himself again to us, just as he wants to be seen and experienced and enjoyed as the lover of man and as the bringer of all joy. Again, this miracle, the wedding at Cana, comes on the third day in anticipation of the resurrection. There was a time when some disciples were walking home from Jerusalem, dejected, feeling lost and forsaken. But all of a sudden, the risen Christ, on the third day, begins walking with them on that Easter afternoon. It's so interesting to me that they don't recognize him. And Jesus even leads them through the scriptures, pointing to the revelation of God in human flesh and the Savior's work on the cross. But it's ultimately that evening when Jesus takes bread, when he blesses it and breaks it and reaches out to them, that they get the best introduction of all. And their eyes are apocalyptically opened, and those disciples see and recognize where God wants to be found, in his sacrificial and self-giving love, in the ecstasy and bliss of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. This is where our eyes, too, are introduced to the love of God, where we see God where he wants to be seen and found, and then through it where we learn to love one another and to open our eyes to the needs of one another. Today in our gospel, in our epistle actually, in Ephesians chapter 5, you heard God's design for marriage. You heard about the life that husbands and wives are called to, a life of love that we are called to, whether married or not. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's a love and submission to God and to others that you have not given. But Christ has. Christ rendered up a perfect love for his Father in heaven and a perfect love for you too. And through the water and through the blood, he brings you into that most perfect marriage within the love of the Holy Trinity. He manifests his glory to you. He introduces you to the love of the Father, and the Holy Spirit keeps you in the fellowship of that love. Introductions are important. Moses, he got a passing glimpse as God passed by, but for you, you get the greatest glimpse of the glory of God of all. When you look upon the cross and you see the face of the one who died for you and gave himself for you. Introductions are important. So this morning at his Holy Supper, the Lord wants to make a very good impression on you. When he reaches out with his body and presses to your lips his blood, he's giving you the very best epiphany of all, that God loves you, that God eats and drinks with sinners and forgives them. And you have the epiphany that you've been invited and that you belong to the very best wedding of all, the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'd like to call forth Sophia Cox. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, this child was born again as God's child and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This candidate has received instruction and has been examined by the pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. You are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you to live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, Sophia, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins? Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper, he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others?
Yes,
do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life?
Yes,
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Parents, sponsors, and members of this congregation, the whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for the ongoing instruction and spiritual care of the young. I now ask you, will you intercede for Jophie in prayer, and as much as you're able, give her your counsel and aid that in communion with the church, she may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. Then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless this child. Strengthen her in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood so that she may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith as you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you manifested your glory in the sign at Cana. As you restored creation through the shedding of Christ's blood, pour out your grace in abundance. Give us joy and gladness in the revelation of your truth in the person of your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Raise, O Lord, the fallen churches of our fellowship. Repair the breaches thereof. Rebuild a firm faith and a holy resolve. Cause your holy word to flourish and bring forth fruit according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, lead all pastors and church leaders to imitate the servants at Cana and to do as Christ instructs. Give them boldness to preach the law and the gospel rightly and graciously provide for all of their earthly needs. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have forged the human family in a wonderful pattern and blessed the sacred vocations of husband and wife. Inspire us to stand out in this world, faithful to this biblical institution, and so show forth the glory of Christ and his church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord Almighty, you promise that your meek ones will inherit the earth and not the wicked who seem to possess it now. Turn the rulers of this world toward obedience of faith. Draw all nations under the cover of your church, that they may receive the abundance of the fruits of salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, remember those in need, especially Erno, the father of Ruth Gaba. Be the father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and sorrowful. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of life. We thank you for the birth of all of grace. And be with parents Adam and Lane and give them happiness and joy in their blessings as they look forward to new birth from above and holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your grace you have instituted holy matrimony, in which you keep us from unchastity and other offenses. We implore you, send your blessing on every husband and wife. Do not let them provoke one another to anger and strife, but let them live honorably together in love and godliness. Strengthen them with your gracious help in all temptations, and help them to rear their children in accordance with your will. Grant us all to walk before you in purity and holiness, putting our trust in you, and leading such lives on earth that in the world to come we may have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after a supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. Good morning. Following the divine service today, we will have Bible study. We are looking at the book of Exodus this year, and kind of Sunday after Sunday, I just feel validated about how important it is to learn Exodus. It comes up so frequently in the lectionary in the church here as far as the readings. It's so foundational, the book of Exodus, to understand Christian worship and what it's all about. One thing we've been doing is with my catechism class and adult Bible study, we're providing a similar point of reference. So during catechism class today, when I'm with the young disciples, they'll be having a look at the same lesson that the adults are having, of course, in the fellowship hall with Pastor Gurman. So nice opportunity maybe to talk about what you learned on the way home from church today and at the supper table. Dr. Gurman is going to have a look at Exodus chapter 17. That's the account of the water from the rock with Moses and the first battle against the Amalekites and Aaron and Hur raising his hands. It's just a wonderful, wonderful text. Catechism students, I recognize we haven't been together for a while because you had your Christmas program practice and then Christmas break. So I'll be with catechism students today. So when you hear the bell ring, go to the Sunday school, the choir room for the Sunday school devotion just like normal, and then we'll have our catechism class with each other. Dr. Gurman's going to be leading you in Bible study today. For my confirmation students, that would be specifically 7th and 8th grade. There's been an interest in a little more time just with the pastor to have a little deeper dive into the 6 chief parts of the catechism. So we have a catechism confirmation intensive for 7th and 8th graders this Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30. So I'll look forward to your presence with that. If you can't make it, be sure to let me know. I've been told that there are, what do we call those flowers for Christmas? Poinsettias, thank you. I've been told there's poinsettias downstairs. There's a bunch of extras, so if you'd like to take one home and enjoy it, you're invited to do that in the fellowship hall. Any other announcements today? Okay. Oh, Rick Savitsky, our congregational president.
A few quick thank yous. I don't have a microphone, so I'll just speak real briefly. Thank you, Pastor, for the extra services during Christmas and after Christmas. Thank you, elders. Thank you, older guild, to make that available for our congregation. So thank you. Thank you, guests that are here today. So if you don't recognize someone, members, please seek out the visitors. Visitors, please introduce yourselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great week.